We're going to start off in a new season by looking at God's favor. What is God's favor? Is it that you get everything that you've always wanted and always dreamed of? Is that God's favor? Sometimes that's what people's thinking is that God is a magic genie, that you say the right words and you read your Bible and he gives you whatever you want. Is that our understanding of who God is? Is that your God? I've been here for 5 years now. That's a long time. And if you know, as we walk through these 5 years, we've looked at the story that God presents in the Bible, and we've just stopped and marveled at who God is. And then we went back and we revisited the stories, and we came to understand who God is. So we're understanding theology. What does God have to say to you and I? And then we looked at what? We looked at God in the person of the Holy Spirit. God's favor. What is God's favor? Some of you, how would you determine God's favor? What would you define it as? God's favor. You can use one word to determine God's favor. What is it? What is it?
Obedience.
Okay, so God's favor is obedience. What else do we have?
Blessing.
Okay, we have a good term, blessing. What else? Salvation. Okay. His presence, yeah. There's some really good ones out here now. His fruits of the Spirit are his favor. Okay. So the results of God blessing us with his Spirit. Okay. His presence. So I am favored if I feel God's presence. True? Or false? Ah. See, God's presence isn't always felt. That's supported in Scripture. How many of us agree with that? See, we are people that are emotionally connected. Emotions are part of our being. They're part of our structure. We're physical, spiritual, and emotional. And emotions are so strong because they tend to tell us that things are real. Okay, a lot of truth today is based on what? Feelings. Or what else could you determine feelings as? Experience. So I know something is true, I know something is real, if I experience it. True? Or is it false? What was the thing that the Israelites most of all wanted to feel and experience? The Messiah. To have the Messiah come on and to take away the enemies and give them their promised land. That's what they wanted. They wanted to experience the Messiah. But when Jesus came, did they worship him as the Messiah? No, they did not. Because why? He didn't match their experience of what they expected. When the Messiah was to ride in, he was supposed to ride in on a horse. Why? Because a horse is an animal of war, an animal of victory, an animal of conquering. And instead, Jesus arrived on a what? Donkey. How many of you would go to war on a donkey? But Jesus went to war on a donkey. He actually didn't use a sword. He actually didn't use a shield. He actually didn't use any of the things that a normal man would use. So how could we call him Lord and King? Because he didn't use those things. He didn't arrive the way that we expected him to arrive. Would we still worship him? Better yet, would we count ourselves worthy? Would we count ourselves worthy to be of the Savior? Do you feel worthy of God's favor? It's an important question. Do you feel worthy of God's favor? Why is it such an important question? Because it speaks to one's mindset. What is your mindset as to who God is? As to how does God interact with me? What do I believe about God? So God's favor. Are you worthy of God's favor? The answer might surprise you. What is God's favor? Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is uprightly." Is your walk uprightly? He is your sun. He is your shield. He provides everything for you, and he bestows favor and honor upon you. Is that for everybody? It's available for everybody. But does everybody receive that? God says what? He gives the sun and the rain on both what? The good and the bad. So it tells us something about God's heart. God's heart is he wants no one to perish, but he wants everybody to know him, and he wants to give favor to everybody. This is who God is. We are favored by his death. Galatians 3:13 says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing." What is the word wrongdoing? Sin. "For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Do you feel unworthy of God's favor? The key word there is feel again. Experience. We like to measure everything that way, but how many of us would go to the Bible and say, "He says, I'm favored. Therefore, I am favored." Even if his presence we don't feel. How many have been there? Going, "I don't feel God's favor." And when that happens, do we go to the Word and go, "But his promise is that I'm favored by him"? Those are difficult times, aren't they? Because you go through trials, you go through tribulations, you're going through the storms, and you don't feel very favored at all. Because in our mindset, favor means everything goes well. Amen? Amen. Well, is there a side of our lives that we feel is unworthy of God's favor? There might be parts of our lives go, "Hey, I feel pretty good about presenting this to the Lord, but I don't want you to see this." You ever been there? Yeah. Don't answer this out loud, but if you were to take a ratio of your life out of 100%, how much would you say is worthy of God? Ooh, I don't know. If you had a ladder with all the steps, and the highest step on the ladder was, this is God, where would you fall? And if I told you that Billy Graham answered this question and said that he was about on the third rung, what would you say? Do you feel resigned to the myth that you have lost God's favor forever? Have you ever been there? Man, I got angry again. I lost my temper again. And I said I would never do that again. How can God ever love me or accept me again? Or I said I wouldn't look at that thing that brings me down. That thing that the Lord told me to stay away from because it's a trap and it'll catch me and cause me to fall. And I've fallen again. Is God's favor impossible for me to receive? Because I'm not experiencing or I'm not sensing or I'm not feeling His presence. Peter's denial of Jesus. Classic story, right? Peter's like, Jesus is taking the kingdom now. He's getting ready. He's like, I'm going to come with you. And Jesus tells him what? Says, we're going to have communion. And this is the last communion I'm going to celebrate with you. Because I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And the disciples are going, what? We've all taken up our position with you. We've ministered with you. We've gone through fire with you. We've battled the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious authorities. We've seen you do amazing things. You raised Lazarus from the dead. We believe you're the king. And you say you're going to die? Peter says, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. Not on my watch, because I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm not going to let them take you. And what happens? What happens? Jesus is taken. Peter is distraught. The disciples scatter. And then Peter hangs around and he follows Jesus to where he's being taken captive before the Pharisees and the Sadducees to make a mockery of him. To have him say, once and for all, are you the Messiah? Answer the question. It's a mock trial. And Peter's hiding outside at a fire barrel, keeping himself warm, and gets pointed out. You were with the Galilean. You were with Jesus. You were with Jesus. You were with Jesus 3 times. And then it comes back to him. Jesus and him had a conversation. And Peter said, that'll surely never happen to you. I will never deny you. And what happens? Peter denies him 3 times, and Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times. And the rooster crows. What have I done? I've just denied my Savior. I've just fallen and did the thing that he said that I would do and I said I would not do. I've fallen out of favor with God. I've denied him. He's crucified. How do you think Peter feels? Peter is probably one of the most destroyed persons at this point. Because he said, I will never deny you. And he did. And Jesus dies. Do you think he felt regret? Have you ever felt regret Regret that you said something or did something. And I know thousands of people that feel regret that they've said something in a relationship and then that person passes. And they live with that regret because they'll never get to say what they wanted to say all the time. I love you. I forgive you. Peter is in this middle. I've lost the favor of God. How could I ever be loved again? But then the good news happens of what we celebrate today is what happened. Jesus died, but yet he what? Rose on the third day. He rose. He did what he promised he would do. He rose. And the disciples are beside themselves. What? He's alive? And the women, Mary, and come from the tomb and say, we saw Jesus, he's alive. You're like, okay, what kind of wine were you drinking? I think it's a little bit too fermented. Right? The testimony of women in court was not accepted because they were women. They were the lowest of the low. There had to be a witness of two or three in order to confirm something was true. Well, there was two women here. Do we believe them? Do we not? So what happens? The disciples run to the tomb. I can't believe them. But we're going to run to the tomb and see, and his body's gone. And Jesus appears. They're excited. They're ecstatic. If you're Peter, what are you thinking? You ever stopped and thought about Peter in that situation? He denied Jesus three times. And he's living with regret. And Jesus rises, he shows himself, he sees him, he believes. Timothy puts his finger in his hands. It's him. But I've lost the favor of Jesus. But then Jesus does something incredible, doesn't he? He comes to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, really? Of course I love you. You're Jesus. You're the Messiah. You are bringing the kingdom. You did what you said you would do. I believe. Peter says, yes, of course. And Jesus says, then feed my sheep. He doesn't just say it once. He says it twice. He says it three times. And Peter, by the third one, says, Jesus, of course you know that I love you. And he's weeping. But why did Jesus ask him three times? He denied him three times. He wanted to restore him completely. Completely to his spot. As his apostle. As his spokesman. As a redeemed son of God. What did that say to Peter? Your favor never left. You are still my favorite son. My favorite daughter. Even though you did the most probably dastardly thing or harmful thing in your estimation, Peter, was to deny me. How many of us have denied Christ and thought, he'll never favor me again? It's not true. It's a myth, and that's what the enemy puts in your mind, is that God will never accept you, because Satan is what? He's the accuser. He's the accuser. He says he's an accuser and a liar, and he says you are not good enough. And Jesus says you are good enough. You are good enough because I died on the cross and shed my blood and rose again. And because you believe in me, I shed my blood for you, and my blood makes you righteous. My blood makes you favored. That should excite you. When will God's correction, punishment for my sins ever end? Deuteronomy chapter 28. You can look at it later. But it's a chapter on curses and blessings. And it was the covenant agreement with God, between God and Israel. And God said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And the people said, yes, we agree. We will be your people, and you will be our God. And it was a covenant agreement that they entered into. And these were the radical minimum standards that his community would live by. And those are called what? The Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God only. Have no other God before me. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt honor your mother and father. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not murder. All of that is in this agreement. And God said, this is the way that you will live. It's not something to attain for. It's something to live by. It's not an option. And Jesus agreed so much with what his father said. He said, I come to fulfill what the prophets said. Not to cancel the law, but to fulfill it. So he said, you know those Ten Commandments? Easy way to remember them is love God, love yourself, love people. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What is that? That is God's favor upon each and every person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? But when I sin, it has consequences. Yes, it has consequences. But it doesn't stay with you. Does my sin bring God's displeasure and discipline into my life instead of favor? Think about that. God's discipline does not equal his favor. Myth or truth? Myth or truth? God's discipline does not equal his favor. Think about that. Because your mom or dad disciplined you, you were not favored by them. False or true? It's false. It's false because those that love you and want to see you do well and want to see you exceed and want you to see you come and become the person of God that God wants you to be, disciplines and corrects those they love. Don't believe me? For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Hebrews 12:6. Further evidence, don't fail to correct your children. They won't die if you, heaven forbid we say this word, spank them. Physical discipline may well save them from death. And the translation is Sheol, from death. What's God saying? The Father's discipline, his love, is a favorable thing. I love you so much that I will correct you when you fall out of favor with me. But you're never out of favor with him. Who moved? Did God or did you? I did. I moved. God's favor favors us with correction so we don't end up separated from him at eternity. Who of us would spare our children correction or discipline knowing that it would land them in hell or in jail? That's what it comes down to. And we have a society that is teaching that anything and everything is permissible, is allowable. That if you correct somebody or you discipline somebody, you're going to damage their self-worth. That is directly opposed to what God's Word says. Now, when God disciplines us, how does He discipline us? In love. In love. God's discipline, His chastisement, is His favor. The fact is, God knows we will fall short, that we will sin, but He provided the solution to our wrongdoing, and that's Jesus. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, the Apostle Paul said. Of whom He said, there is no greater sinner than me. They are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What's grace? Undeserved favor. Favor. By His favor. That's why we can't earn this thing called salvation. Because it's only given because it's by God's favor. And the truth is, He favors all His creation. It's whether or not we will listen and obey and follow. And belief. Grace equals favor. What else equals favor? His love. Love is grace, which is favor. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scriptures, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." When you see this scripture, what do you see? I tell you, this is a scripture of favor. That Christ died for you and for me. No one put Him to death without His will, Scripture says. He did it Himself. It's rare that a good man would die for somebody, but a righteous man, potentially. But you can be rest assured that God Himself will die for you. And He did. What favor we have. Jesus took the curse upon Himself so that we receive the Father's favor instead. He took the curse so that we would receive His favor. And the good news is this. Does the curse remain? No. Jesus only died once. And the curse is dead. Done. Finished. Complete. Paid in full, Jesus says. But we still have consequences of sin. Right? Well, Jesus says, I do favor you. I love you. I protect you. But I'm going to allow you to feel that choice that you made. Would a good father do that, or a good mom? Sure they would. Because hopefully that's a teaching moment so that later on in life, as you and I grow old, we develop wisdom and correction. And we won't go that way again. Sin has consequences and brings the Lord's discipline, but it does not bring a curse. That was wiped out at the cross. Amen? Amen. The deal at the cross, He took the curse. We take His righteousness. We take His favor. That's the good news. That's very good news. We therefore live in a continual state of favor, of blessing. What was the question I asked at the beginning? Are you worthy of His favor? When you choose Jesus, you're worthy of His favor. Because it's in Jesus that you live and have righteousness, which is God's favor. It may not feel like it at times, but we are walking in God's continual state of favor. We may not see that favor here on earth, or with something that we're dealing with at this point, at this time. But the biggest favor that we have is that if we die, and we will, we are His, and we have eternal life. That's not to say that God does not heal. That's not to say that God doesn't do miracles, because He does. And we may receive that favor. When Moses was wondering, what am I going to do? Is this all that life has left for me? What did God do? He gave a burning bush. That was God's favor. That was the way to communicate with Moses and to get his attention and to say, I've got something more for you now. You're ready to lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses going, that's your favor? But that is God's favor. Jacob. Remember who Jacob was? We're going to look at Jacob in the next couple of weeks. But Jacob, I mean, Jacob was a nasty brother. Anybody had a nasty brother? Or a nasty sister? Nasty friend? Okay, whatever. No, that's good. But he was nasty because what? He stole his brother's birthright. His brother was hungry, dying of starvation, and he said, give me your birthright first. Esau's like, serious? And he did it because he was so hungry. And then what else does Jacob do? As his father is dying, he goes in and he steals the blessing that was reserved for the first child. And he steals the blessing, and then what happens? Jacob runs for his life because his brother is mad. And he spends like a couple of decades apart from his family in exile. He cheats his father-in-law, Laban. Says, I'll make you a deal. You can have all the calves that are not spotted, and I'll take the ones that are spotted, because those are the ones with blemish. And then he fixes it so that all the calves come out blemished. Jacob was nasty. But who did Jacob become? Israel. Blessed by God. Favored by God. Did they deserve it? No. But God had promised who? Abraham, Isaac, and he said, because I promised your fathers, Abraham and Isaac, I promise you, Jacob, that your people will be like the sand of the sea, like the stars in the sky, and I'll bless you. And because I bless you and favor you, the rest of the world will be favored through you. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So what's your mindset? Are you favored or are you cursed? How do you understand that? Because I'll tell you right now, you're favored. It may not feel like it presently, but you need to take it from me. You need to take it from God, from His Word, that you're favored. May not feel like it right now. You may be going through things that don't equal God's favor. But His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His mind is not our mind. And we don't know. But we can rest assured that God's promise is eternal. That if you believe in Jesus and follow Jesus, that you're favored. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on Him the sins of us all. And because of His experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for He will bear all their sins. Amen? Amen. What no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and what has never come into a man's heart is what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, oh, I'm just so excited about your favor. And Lord, this ain't no prosperity gospel. It is your word. That you died on the cross for us and gave us your righteousness to all who believe that you, Jesus, are Lord and Savior. How can we humble ourselves to say thank you enough? But thank you. And Lord, as we come before the table this morning, Father, would you remind us of the favor that we have? That we would lay out those things that have been a barrier in our lives, that we may be hidden away from you because we don't think we're worthy. But because of you, Jesus, because of your shed blood, we are worthy. Only because of you. So, Father, accept our shame. Forgive us for our sin. And Lord, may we walk with you in your favor. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus.